You're listening to episode 5 of the Who's to Say podcast. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, buddy.
What's the topic today?
Today, we are going to be talking about drag queen culture. We would like to start this episode and give a little disclaimer. Disclaimer alert. We are discussing this just as enraptured appreciators?
Yep, yeah, we're as fans.
As fans of drag queen culture. At no point in time during this episode are we going to be attempting to state facts about drag queen culture as if we know. We are obviously not gay men. So
It's true. Yeah, and we're just we're just putting it out there that we're talking about this stuff as
purely as spectators.
Spectators, appreciators, you know, watchers of the rise of drag queen culture in popular media.
Yes, exactly.
Disclaimer over.
Disclaimer over.
Disclaimer disclaimed.
Yes.
If you will.
Also, I would like to start this episode by saying very exciting news that RuPaul Charles, aka RuPaul from RuPaul's Drag Race, finally got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
About damn time. Sashay away.
Shantae, you stay.
Shantae, you stay.
On the ground.
On the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
On the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
You stay right there.
Right there.
Okay. So I am very new to RuPaul's Drag Race, which we say drag queen culture, but we're probably mostly going to be talking about RuPaul's Drag Race here.
Simply because we think that it is the most well-known and visually, like the best visual representation of mainstream drag culture as it has kind of developed into in the last couple years. So we will probably be focusing on that mostly today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of, I've
Delaney has just
dipped my toes
in the
luscious pool
of Darien Lake.
The waters of Darien Lake.
You haven't seen that season yet, but that is something that they said a lot on the show in season 6.
Oh, I'm crying.
Oh, man. So you've seen now, what, season 8?
Season 9.
You've seen season 9.
Parts of season 9.
Parts of season 9. How far are you into season 9?
Only a couple episodes.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I think the nice thing here is that Delaney is going to be giving a very fresh perspective on just getting into this phenomenon that RuPaul's Drag Race has become.
Yeah, very, very outsider perspective, which is...
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and I will be giving...
New beans.
Also an outsider perspective, as someone who has been indulging and loving being a spectator of RuPaul's Drag Race for almost 3 years now.
Love it. A seasoned watcher.
Love it. I'm a seasoned viewer.
I mean...
And fan.
It is, without a doubt, one of the most fun experiences I've ever had, like, I've ever gotten to watch. It's just...
Oh, absolutely.
It's so fun to watch.
I remember I started watching RuPaul's Drag Race in the beginning of my third year of university. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was trying to explain to the person I was seeing that, like, what the content of the show was.
Right.
And I literally described it like this. I said, it's like America's Next Top Model, except... They do all their own hair and makeup, they make all of their clothes, and it's way more fun, and there's a comedy aspect to it.
It's so funny.
It's so much more challenging. Like, for the contestants, it is so much more challenging than any other kind of, like, I don't want to say game show, but, like, contestant-based show I have ever seen.
I didn't really realize, I don't know what I was, like, what I had imagined, but the challenges... on the show are so creative.
Yes.
And, like, I knew it was creative, and, like, drag is a very creative art form.
And that's the thing, is that drag, I think the only thing, because were you aware of what drag queens were when, like, you were, I don't want to say growing up, but a teenager or anything like that?
I think I grew up in a very conservative area.
Me too.
Eastern British Columbia in Canada. Yeah. And so I think when I was really young, I wasn't educated on the difference between drag queens and trans people.
Okay.
Trans women and trans men. So I think this was in the era of, you know, heavy quotations of cross-dressing.
I was gonna and where about people to were say, just I kind think of that was
they were lumping drag and trans women and trans men in this giant group of cross-dressers, you know what yeah. I mean? And so
the early 2000s were a dark time, my friends.
Yeah, and so, you know, I don't think it was really on my radar
mm-hmm.
as any kind of concept, like, you know what I mean? But no, exactly. But now I've learned and I'm continuing to learn more about it.
Yes.
But I wasn't ever on my just was never in my, like, field of vision.
Mm-hmm. I was aware of drag queens in high school only because every now and then they would pop up in the media that I was consuming, like, a movie here and there, like an indie movie, or yeah, yeah. mentioned in, like, a book that I was reading.
Sure.
And so I knew what they were, but I don't think anybody knows, like, how much work goes into the craft until you watch RuPaul's Drag Race. And that's what I like about it, is that they show you all the behind the scenes in the workroom, like, while they're working to, like, sew together these outfits, or
it's
in
wild.
Some queens' cases, glue gun their outfits together.
Well, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yep.
And if there's one thing this show has really told me, is, like, there is no limit to what you can do. With a glue gun.
Yep.
And maybe, like, garbage bags.
Yep.
If you've got to.
Yep.
I didn't realize that the show was so, like, focused on that part of it, on yep. the creation and on the character development, and it's so much more than just performance, you know what I mean? It's not
oh, yeah.
just, you know, slapping on some clothes and heading out on stage and, you know, lip syncing or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. it is so much deeper than that. And, like, I 100% didn't appreciate that before I started watching RuPaul's Drag Race, and I have no mm-hmm. doubt that beyond RuPaul's Drag Race, you know, in the actual sphere and world of drag,
mm-hmm.
that it goes even deeper. You know, this is just yeah. the mainstream kind of, you know, available part of it. And I'm just, even watching this, I'm, like, so much more appreciative of the amount of effort that goes into drag.
Yes.
It's insane.
And I think it's also important to note that because it has become more mainstream in the last, I want to say in the last, like, 3 years, I think part of that is that Netflix has been putting seasons on that are available to watch, so the average consumer who is using Netflix will see that.
It's so funny, like, it's just
and
funny.
It's just hilarious,
like,
and
the girls on the show are just hysterical.
Oh yeah, which is why I think it's also, now that they're doing more seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars,
yeah,
which, for people who don't know, is when they take contestants from previous seasons and throw them together into a, like, a mega competition. It has really been an opportunity for queens who have been on seasons where not a whole lot of people were watching the show.
There was not a wide variety
in the audience. It gives them a chance to get some exposure for new fans.
Yeah. As someone who's very new to consuming and appreciating drag culture, I read a bunch of articles prior to this podcast. I was so surprised by the amount of young people that are, like, I'm talking mega fans.
Yep.
Of these stars, right? These stars on the show. Like, I was reading this article and this person had gone to DragCon.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about how there are, like, young girls who you would expect to see in line for, like, Harry Styles or something like that, who are, like, crying in line waiting to see Naomi Smalls.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, mm-hmm. to me, I just think that's really cool. It's completely bypassed its original audience.
Oh, yeah. And I think an interesting factor as well, so you probably have not gotten to this point in your season that you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
However, seasoned Drag Race viewers will know this. Every season, when they get into either the top five or the top six, I can't remember, there are a lot of challenges that are the same for every season. So, uh-huh. like, Snatch Game, which is my favorite episode because that's when they all dress up like celebrities, and there's nothing I love more on God's green earth than celebrity impersonations. It's fantastic.
Oh,
so, one of the episodes that's always a challenge is making over people who are not drag queens. Each queen gets assigned a person, and they have to make them over to be part of their drag family.
Whoa.
And so, in the past, this has been straight men, gay veterans. Last year, they are in season 9, sorry to spoil it for you, but they make over members of the crew a lot of whom are heterosexual men.
Right.
And it is fantastic to watch these people who are probably in the past would have been more inclined to be against or resistant to drag culture, like wanting to know more about everything that has to do with what goes into a drag performance.
Yeah.
And I think that that is an ingenious aspect of the show, is that they utilize an episode like that to show that drag queen culture is not just for the people who perform.
Mm-hmm.
They try and make it as inclusive as possible, and I don't think they could have done anything better than what they do with that episode. And interestingly enough, there was an episode where they did make over gay veterans, and then that guy, one of them, he is now like a fully formed drag queen, like he performs.
Whoa!
And, yeah.
So they opened the gate.
Yeah. Shout out to Nebraska Thunderfuck. Love you.
Shout out to Nebraska Thunderfuck.
She is the drag daughter of Alaska Thunderfuck.
As I assumed.
Yes.
Nebraska.
Nebraska and Alaska. You'll love them. Thunderfuck.
Yeah. What a great last name.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I should have gone with.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. And change my last name to Thunderfuck. Jokes on everybody.
Yep.
So, that being said, then you brought up earlier when we were sort of discussing what we wanted to talk about,
mm-hmm.
the concept of a bio queen.
Oh, yes.
Now, a bio...
This is saucy topic.
Yeah, and the concept of a bio queen is very new to me, and Ray just explained it to me, so I don't really know the full deal here, but a bio queen is a cis woman...
No, maybe, I would say maybe I'm not clear on, like, the straight part. Like, I don't think you have to be straight to be considered a bio queen, but you are biologically a woman.
Biologically, and you identify as a woman.
Yep.
Dressing in drag.
Yep. And this is a very contentious topic, especially in the wake of season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And you know what? Actually, going back to one of the previous seasons, because this is, Peppermint, mm-hmm. contestant on season 9, is a transgender woman.
Right.
And there was one other queen in the past, Monica Beverly Hills, who, upon her elimination, came out to the entire cast of the show and said that she was a trans woman as well.
Yeah.
And so there is a lot of pushback from certain parts of that community that trans women don't really have a place to be competing in RuPaul's Drag Race or performing drag or considering calling themselves drag queens still, which I think is not... good.
Mm.
I don't like that. Yeah. However, that is where the water gets very muddy with bio queens, because I'm trying to think of a way to say this, because the argument with bio queens is that women who are dressing up in drag and trying to take over this art form and make it their own, it's almost ignoring the queer history of drag, mm-hmm. and the struggles that drag queens have had to overcome in order to express themselves and show off their talents mm. and their craft. Mm-hmm. And I think the argument with that is that if you allow, or if we're accepting trans women into, like, the drag queen culture, it's almost like admitting that they're not real women, which nobody wants to do, because obviously trans women are real women.
Yeah.
And so that's where it becomes, like, this weird...
Yeah.
What's appropriate and what's not? What's appropriation and what's not?
So then that being said, like, that just kind of attests to the volume of, or rather it attests to the depth of drag culture and, like, how there's so much more beneath the surface of, you know, just watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Exactly.
But that being said, the rise of it, you know, and the rise of drag culture coming into mainstream media on like, you know, networks or streaming services like Netflix and all this kind of stuff, I guess it can kind of be considered, you know, a doorway to people maybe exploring further and, like, learning more about it. I know it has been for me.
I can now understand the appeal in people outside of the gay community wanting to experience being drag queens mm-hmm. and interpreting drag culture for themselves, is that who wouldn't want to put on a really fun and crazy persona mm-hmm. and get up and perform and kind of step outside yourself and be a better, more confident version of what you'd like to be.
Mm-hmm.
Way more glamorous too.
But oh my god,
just
yes.
to add that.
It's true though. And I think that drag culture now coming up in mainstream media is great because it's really going to encourage people to realize it's so much more than just, like, a surface thing.
Yeah.
It's not just gay men dressing as women.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not what drag is.
No. And I think that now that the show is so much more mainstream and hitting such a huge audience, and you have noticed this as well with season 9.
Mm-hmm.
So season 9 contestant Sasha Velour definitely spent a lot of time on the show utilizing her platform to educate viewers about queer history and the reasons why drag queens have evolved from where they, like, the beginnings to where they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that I think anybody who is consuming drag culture should know and be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
It was not an easy road for drag queens, yeah. And we have to respect that.
Well, I think that's what I'm so much more appreciative now of, is knowing that, like, and it, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but it's not just gay men dressing as women. It's so much deeper. And what I really love about Drag Race is that, you know, it's hilarious and it's wonderful. And, like, in so many ways, it's so lighthearted and just kind of such a great avenue of escape, you know, to watch and enjoy.
Yeah.
But there are times, too, when, like, all of that drops away and you hear the stories of these contestants and their very real life experiences.
Yep.
You know, like, one I always think about is Kimchi,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, like...
That was a heartbreaking story.
Yeah, and, like, their experience of, you know, her parents, her mom, like, doesn't know that she does drag. She's shown her mom photos of her in drag. And her mom doesn't even realize it, but she's terrified that, like, when her mom finds out, that's gonna be the end. Like, she'll just stop talking to her.
Yeah.
And that's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that fear must just hang over you. And, like, hearing stories like that makes me realize that... Well, doesn't make me realize, but it just kind of showed me that, like, to overcome that fear and still perform drag, because it lets you be the best version of yourself. Like, you can still be yourself... You can be the best version of yourself, the most authentic version of yourself, and be spectacular, you know?
Yeah, still be a star.
Yeah, and that's how important it is.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And not just important to those people that are performing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just that important to Kimchi, but it then becomes as important to all the people that are watching Kimchi do that.
Mm-hmm.
She becomes, like, a lighthouse for all of these kids watching, being like, I can do that too, you know, I can overcome that fear and be myself.
Exactly.
And to me, like, watching that is just so fearless, you know what I mean?
It's
so brave.
Is.
Like,
and it's interesting too, I just thought of this, so because I was thinking about RuPaul's career as being the most successful drag queen of all time,
mm-hmm.
and having broken through to mainstream media decades ago.
Yeah.
She was actually in this movie, which I watched last summer. It's called To Wong Fu. I love Julie Newmar. That's definitely not the exact wording of the title. It's a long-ass title for a movie.
It seems a little complicated.
However, the main characters in this movie were played by Patrick Swayze.
What?
Wesley Snipes.
What?
And John Leguizamo.
Leguizamo.
Yeah, Leguizamo. And all three of whom are, well, R.I.P. Patrick Swayze, we miss you. But,
pour one out for Patrick Swayze.
All three of whom, at the time, I think were presenting themselves as, very straight, red-blooded American males. And, in the movie, they play drag queens.
Yeah.
They're going on a road trip. And there's obviously, like, hijinks and stuff like that. But it was just, it was a movie from the 90s.
A classic Patrick Swayze, John Leguizamo mess around.
And so... I think it's also cool to think about how, even though Drag Race has now become the association that people have with mainstream drag culture, you have to think of movies like that. Movies like, what's it called? Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, or whatever. And so that also, I think, was...
Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yep, exactly. Ways of cinema bringing drag to a wider audience, because
Patrick
Swayze was still a huge celebrity at the time
RuPaul
that came out.
RuPaul is not the first, we should say this. Or RuPaul's Drag
Race. RuPaul was actually in that movie.
Yeah, no, not RuPaul, but RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Is not the first, you know, this is
avenue.
No.
Yeah.
You know, it being on Netflix now,
yep.
It's become majorly accessible, and I think that's the point.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the key.
And I just think that it's so powerful that it's now burst into mainstream media, and and an entire, you know, an entire generation now has access to this world.
Yep.
You know, that they can find, they can find love in,
yeah,
and compassion in, and inspiration from.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, like, I find it so inspiring, you know, to just watch people be the best versions of themselves and to really chase it down. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Really chase being themselves and prioritize that. I find that so inspiring. So, you know, I can only imagine how inspiring it would be to someone that it hasn't been easy to be themselves. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, too, it's amazing that so many of these queens, that so many of the contestants and so many of the queens on Drag Race are also people of color. You know what I mean?
I always look for that, too. I'm always very, not hyper aware, but I'm always curious to see. I used to do this with America's Next Top Model, too, just to see what kind of diversity is represented on the show. Just because RuPaul Charles is obviously an African-American male.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking to see, like, which ethnic communities are represented on the show,
yeah.
And they do a really good job of, this is something I've always noticed now having watched every season. The Latin American community is always very well represented. Every now and then you will get someone who represents an Asian community. The contestants who have been on in the past have not all been from the same ethnic background. But they do a good job of bringing their culture as well. I think Kimchi, being South Korean, was, like, the most prominent
mm-hmm.
of the ones in the past, because the ones I'm thinking of, there have been Filipino contestants, Japanese contestants. They're obviously American, but, like, this is their heritage.
Their cultural.
Yes. And, yeah, definitely good to see.
Well, I just
all
think
that.
That, so, I, you know, I think we all know that people of color are so wildly underrepresented in mainstream media, and then to kind of cross-section that with, like, with the queer community,
yep,
it's amazing to have both of those intersect,
yep,
and to have a voice that is kind of like doubly underrepresented being able to speak on such a large platform and to reach all of these other people that
mm-hmm.
you know, identify within those same areas. Like, I just
yeah.
think it's so great.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to know, on a little bit of a lighter note, so you're
yeah.
only a couple episodes into season 9.
Yeah.
But I think it would be fun to do, like, a follow-up episode to this when you finish season 9.
Okay.
So
I'd like that.
Let's hear some of your first impressions, Delaney. I want to know, do you have any favorites picked to win yet?
Oh, no. I'm still kind of rattled after season 8, if I'm being honest. Like, maybe rattled to the room.
I was like, really? You did not see Bob winning, like, from episode 3.
So here's the thing. Starting season 8, like, the minute I saw Bob,
yeah,
that was it for me.
Yeah.
It was love at first sight.
I love that.
It's like, I would die or kill others for Bob the drag queen.
Not to be confused with Bob the mailman.
Nope. Or Bob, oh my god, there were a million things that Rue said.
Bob the plumber.
Bob the plumber, Bob the, what
bus
was it?
Driver.
Bob the contractor.
Yep.
There are so many different varieties of Bob. But I was, the whole time I was really nervous that somehow, like, the other shoe was going to drop and Bob was going to get eliminated, but
yeah.
It never happened,
nope.
Thankfully.
From season 9,
mm-hmm.
based on first impressions, because I know that I had a lot of first impressions that changed significantly from the first episode to
like
the finale.
What?
Episode 1, and disclaimer, I love you, Trinity, so much, but Trinity Taylor, I was like, no. Nope, I don't like her attitude, I don't like it, I'm not having it. She was my favorite to win from, like, the midpoint of the season till the finale.
So what changed from the beginning to the midpoint?
I think when she came in, she, and here's the thing, is that her attitude of being like, I can do everything and I'm still a pageant queen, or, like, mm-hmm. I'm taking what pageant queen means and turning it on its head because I'm so much more than what people think that is as a stereotype. She came in knowing that she could do that, but nobody else knew that. So I was like, where does this bitch think that she is good? I was like, what? Bring it down a few levels, honey. I was like, that confidence is, like, too much.
Yeah.
But then I saw her in action. Like, every single challenge was so solid, and she was so funny.
And then she backed it up, so basically.
And then she backed it up. Like, I think my opinion started to change when I saw her Lady Gaga runway, because I was like, that was fucking dope. And then it just got so much better from there. And I love you, Trinity Taylor. I love you so much.
That is interesting, because I had the same
Yeah?
Skepticism. I'll say Trinity Taylor.
I think all of America did in parts of the other world.
I guess it was just because, or it is really, because I haven't kind of gotten to the turning point yet, but where, yeah, skeptical of the confidence in being like, are you just kind of full of yourself, or are you really going to, like, walk the walk? And I'm glad to hear that she walks the walk.
Oh, yeah, she walks the walk. I wanted to know what your opinions are on Derek Barry.
Oh, my God, Derek Barry! Frick.
You want to know who Derek Barry... You remember that, that gay veteran that I told you about that turned into, like, that became a full-on drag queen?
Was that Derek Barry?
No, that is... one of Derek Barry's two boyfriends.
Derek Barry's got two boyfriends?
Yeah, they're in, but like, they're all three of them are dating each other. Like, they're in a three-person relationship.
Yeah.
And one of those people is Nebraska.
Nebraska Thunderfuck?
Yeah.
Nice.
That was like the greatest discovery of my life. I figured that out on Instagram and I was like, holy shit.
Nebraska Thunderfuck. Derek Barry is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I think about this probably twice a day. Early on in season 8, there's the photo shoot. Like, you know the photo shoot I'm talking about.
I believe it's that's episode 1 where they pose with all the former winners.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Episode 1. So very early on in season 8. Derek Barry gets out there, sits backwards on that chair with the leg out, like full Britney.
Yep.
I couldn't believe
full Britney.
Full Britney. Like, I can't believe.
I was like, well, hang on to your hat, because once you get to season 4, you will get to meet Chad Michaels, who is the premier Cher impersonator of the drag community.
Oh my God!
I would say that Derek Barry's Britney is on par with Chad Michaels' Cher. Like, it's eerie.
I don't think we've had an episode where we haven't brought up Cher, by the way.
Where we haven't brought up Cher?
Yeah, Cher has been in every episode so far.
Guys, I refuse to stop talking about Cher. I love Cher.
Chad Michaels Cher, huh?
Yeah, just YouTube it. It's great. It's great.
So, like...
I love everything about it. I know that I will never be able to fully, like, back up all of my commentary about Drag Race specifically just because I am not a drag queen or... God damn it. I will say something about those runway looks.
There is one thing you can count on, it is that Ray will have something to say about runway looks.
Yep, no matter what. So, yeah. I think that the show has elevated itself completely, and I'm excited for season 10, which is starting this coming Thursday, guys. So, buckle up. It's going to be real good.
Lip sync for your life.
Anyway, guys, I think we're going to probably wrap up there.
Way too emotional about RuPaul.
So yes, you can find us on SoundCloud. You can, you should be subscribing to us on iTunes.
Apple Podcasts,
as well. If you want to give us a little follow on the gram, we are at Who's to Say Pod.
If you have questions or comments,
yep,
you can send us an email at whostosaypod@gmail.com.
Exactly. If you have any topics that you want us to talk about, that would be the way to do it.
There she blows.
There it is.
There it is. Yeah. So with that.
Yeah. I didn't know what to say after
You're
that.
Just looked at me like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it should be like, sashay away, fuckers.
Sashay away, fuckers.
Nailed it.
It's good.